This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of fate, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears, looms but the horror of the shade. And yet, the menace of the years binds and shall bind me. Unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Tisha Week in the studio with me today. And if you did not recognize the voice already, that was Morgan Freeman reciting the poem Invictus by W.E. Henley from the movie of the same name.
Absolutely moving.
Yes.
Little hairs on my skin are standing up. So a question for you, Juliet, to kick things off. When was the last time you recited a poem?
Well, last night, actually. It's called As I Do. This is the Juliet way of life. But it was actually a children's book, The Scarecrow's Wedding by Julia Donaldson,
who's also
the author of The Gruffalo as well.
Yes.
So yeah, that was the bedtime story because she writes everything in rhyme, right?
Mine would be the same, but for me, Dr. Seuss.
There you go.
Everything revolves around the kids, that's right. But we also want to hear from you. What is your favorite poem or pantone, rhyme, rap perhaps, anything of a lyrical verse that rhymes to help us enrich our conversation today? So you can tweet that over to us at BFM Radio, or you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Now, I think the truth is that while it is still quite grand and memorable to hear someone read a poem in a movie, this isn't something people do in real life very much anymore, unless you're a parent perhaps reading some Dr. Seuss. Some of us may read poetry, of course, and even more of us share them on social media in convenient Instagram-sized posts. But the practice of actually memorizing a poem and reciting it out loud has largely become a thing of the past.
Yeah, but over the last decade or so, we've been seeing a return, you know, to many activities that were previously considered old-fashioned or a different time. Things like crocheting or colouring or even woodworking. So they're often a way to unplug from technology and screens, to find a way to relax and to use a buzzword to practice mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And lately, memorising and reciting poetry is being suggested by a number of advocates in this vein too.
This is particularly the case because of the current COVID-19 pandemic, which has been keeping many people indoors for a few months now, and this has led them to look for activities that can be easily done at home and something that can be done both alone or with family and friends.
Yeah. Now, it's worth keeping in mind that as recently as one generation ago, memorizing and reciting poetry was a pretty common part of learning, whether for English or Bahasa Malaysia. And both here and in many other countries, many students grew up being made to memorize specific poems and having to stand up and recite them.
Ooh,
I'm getting some flashbacks
there.
Right. But this is a practice that has increasingly become rare, even in countries that have a strong literature component in their curriculum. So in an article in The Conversation, poetry researcher Veronica Alfano from the Australian Catholic University says that in literature studies these days, the emphasis has shifted from rote memorization to analysis, and that many teachers see little value in making students memorize poems without understanding the meaning or context. And on top of that, with practically every poem accessible with a click on the internet, there seems to be little need need to commit them to memory.
You know, but the value of memorizing and then reading a poem out loud is about more than just knowing it. It is about understanding it and feeling it and connecting with it. And possibly at times like these, finding comfort in it as well. So we started the show with a poem, Invictus by W.E. Hanley. It is a well-known fact that Nelson Mandela recited this poem during his days in Robben Island Prison, and that it inspired him and his fellow inmates to persevere through their incarceration. And during World War II, American President Franklin D. Roosevelt and British Prime Minister Winston Churchill turned to poetry to keep each other's spirits up, including Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's The Building of the Ship. And in a recent article in The Atlantic, Elliot Acorn, Dean of the Johns Hopkins University of School of Advanced International Studies, describes learning and reciting poetry as a balm in times of crisis. He suggests that poetry can be a way to learn of struggles from the past and of challenges faced by others. He goes on to say they can also be inspirational and offer a path to building resilience. So to quote Cohen, poetry can offer a different way of viewing the world, particularly to generations that did not suffer the buffetings of the early and mid-20th century and are now bewildered by the calamities that seem to arise from nowhere and leave them powerless.
Yeah, and it's worth bringing up that poetry is uniquely suited to being memorized and recited. Mm. It's no surprise why rhymes and poems have been passed down for generations and why they often contain everything from oral history and advice to love stories and jokes. And there is a rhythm to most poetry that is, you know, meant to engage the brain and convince you to actually say it out aloud. As writer Matthew Shiner says in an article in The Cut, and I'm quoting him here, poetry is sticky, prose slips, barbed and spurred, poems catch in your chest, they get stuck in your head like songs. Mm. And he describes poems as talismans, you know, things that we can keep and pass on and revisit when we need comfort or meaning or even direction. So researcher Veronica Alfano, you know, who I mentioned earlier, further explains how saying a poem out loud allows you to hear someone else's voice, so that becomes an embodied experience rather than just a printed object.
And perhaps that has something to do with why reciting poetry offers more than just a way to learn. Think of all the different forms in which we offer comfort or solidarity or to calm ourselves down, right? Nursery rhymes or lullabies to soothe children, motivational passages that we recite over and over, rallying chants at sporting events, or even prayer. There's something about the act of memorizing words in certain patterns and then saying them out loud that appeals to our subconscious.
That's right. And I think, you know, growing up, going to church, you know, the hymns, you know, or even the prayers that you have, you know, there's a certain comfort to it.
That's right.
It keeps you...
The repetition of it.
And that's how they ask you to meditate as well, right? To keep repeating the things over and over again. Yeah.
So to get more insight into how learning poetry can help during these times, we have on the line Hugh Gill, Professor of Psychology and Associate Provost from Sunway University. Thanks for joining us, Prof Hugh. So amidst the current global pandemic, there has been a return to activities that people can do at home easily. And one of the suggestions that a number of experts have been making is to memorize and recite poetry. Why do you think this is?
Well, poetry is a very, very powerful way of learning language. It's also an amazingly powerful way of putting ideas inside our own heads. Amazingly, every culture seems to have some form of poetry. And if you think back to your childhood, much of what you were learning as a child was poems, even if it's little playground rhymes. We teach very important information through poems.
So how could learning poetry help us cope in times of crisis such as we are facing now?
So if you want to think now, the mind is a bit like a warehouse. So your long-term memory is full of boxes of information, but you live your daily life in your short-term memory, which is one box at a time. So if you're actually reading a poem to yourself internally, you're very focused on that box that's in front of you. This, of course, is the essence of mindfulness. So once you're focused on a task of recording and recalling something from memory, you can't focus on anything else. So your mind settles down. You get into a very simple groove. You get into a state of almost harmony as your mind is focused upon the rhythm of learning the words or reciting the words. So poetry is a wonderful way of calming the mind. And of course, most good poems bring with them a powerful message. So not only are you calming your mind, you're reinforcing the kind of positive thoughts that will help you cope with any difficult situation. So poetry is a really, really powerful way of making yourself feel better, happier, focused, and controlling your moods.
And in terms of their possible benefits to us, is there a difference in simply reading poetry versus memorizing and reciting it out loud?
Reading poetry is a great way to learn about your language. Many people don't realize it till it's pointed out to them, but it's obvious. Every language has its own rhythm. So, for example, in English, we talk about heroic pentameter, 5 beats to the bar. But in French, it's 6 beats to the bar. So reading poetry is a great way to understand the rhythm of your language, to increase your vocabulary, to learn new phrases. But of course, if you internalize that poetry, you now have a store of wisdom that you can draw upon, you can quote from, that can actually pop into your head at moments of great stress. So I know colleagues of mine, for example, who've coped with very difficult situations by mentally rehearsing poetry in their head, because it takes their focus away from the present difficulty to something of great beauty and makes them focus on something inside themselves and gives them a sense of strength to overcome and to keep going.
And does the type of poetry we learn or recite matter?
Most people in their teenage years go through a phase of writing very bad love poetry. And of course, what they're doing is experiencing and working with their own emotions, and they're working with language. Now, many people don't understand actually how memory works, so let me very quickly explain. In your brain, there are a couple of structures known as the hippocampi, because they're said to look like seahorses, and that's where memory begins. But after some time, memory seems to move from the hippocampuses into the upper levels of the brain. And what happens at that point is it moves from being a sort of emotional, a feeling kind of memory into a semantic, a meaning memory. So poetry is a great way of expressing meanings tied to emotions. Now, this is why time is a great healer. Over time, you forget emotions. That's why you feel less passionate about things that happened in the past. But poetry, because it links emotion and meaning, can actually bring back feelings. It can conjure feelings. So those can obviously be very positive feelings. So very famously, Nelson Mandela, for example, recited the poem Invictus. And many people have recited that poem over the years as a way to say, I will carry on no matter how difficult it is. But similarly, love poetry can actually make us feel those emotions, can actually make us feel more passionate and more loving towards the person that we're thinking about when we're reciting that poem. So poetry is a really powerful way of engaging our sense of meaning alongside our feelings and emotions.
And to extend from that, Prof Hugh, does the act of writing or creating poetry also help?
There's something innately creative about being a human. Humans want to create. They want to make things themselves, new things, improve things, whether it's in the kitchen or whether it's doing DIY at home. Mm-hmm. People like to make things and they like to do it well. And of course, poetry is about expressing one's innermost thoughts and sometimes maybe even secrets in a way that can be publicly expressed. So poetry is a great way for people to create and to think about the deeper meanings and levels within their own lives and to record those ideas in a form that's external to them that they can use and inspire themselves with again in the future. That's why, as I said, we often write very bad poetry about love when we're young people. But through life, actually many people continue writing poetry as a great way to sum up where they've been and where they want to go.
So do you have any suggestions for people who want to try learning and reciting poetry, but, you know, don't quite know how to start?
The best thing to do is to get an anthology. There are many online websites. You can go and find many of the world's best and most famous poems. And in fact, you can actually learn a poem quite quickly, because one of the tricks of memory is that when you put things like rhyme together, you remember things much more effectively. And indeed, until writing became widespread, most people probably remembered most information through using rhymes. And indeed, many of the ideas in our cultures that get passed down, things like old wives' tales, often have a rhyme that are related to them. So that's how we remember this key information. So learning poetry is actually quite easy. It's also very rewarding, because it means that you now have that stock of interesting quotes that you can use in your conversation. It makes you a much more interesting conversationalist. So poetry is a very easy thing to do. It's actually a very easy thing to master. And who knows, once you start learning, you manage to start writing as well.
You definitely make it sound relatively easy and also really engaging. But, you know, the practice of sitting around and reciting poetry has become somewhat unfashionable these days. Do you have any thoughts on why this could be?
Poetry has probably become unfashionable. And indeed, there's talk that it will be dropped from the GCSE syllabuses as a compulsory subject next year. Because unfortunately, some people think it's high culture. Mm-hmm. Of course, it isn't high culture. Poetry exists in every aspect of life, whether it be from Shakespeare to rappers. People are using poetry. It's mm-hmm. very much part of the idiom. And indeed, just look at good adverts on TV. They'll often have a rhyme and a jingle. That's poetry in action. So poetry isn't difficult. It's actually accessible. The thing is, we've been taught that it's difficult because we associate it with people like Shakespeare. But if you approach Shakespeare and you realize that he's writing just like an ordinary man about his passions, his feelings, his thoughts, his hopes, his fears, it's very easy to engage with the man behind the words. So don't focus on the complexity of the words. Focus on the person behind them.
And finally, Prof Hugh, do you have a favorite poem yourself, and would you like to share a few lines from it?
Oh, now, this is a really difficult thing. I have written poems myself, and indeed, every year, on my wedding anniversary, I give my wife a Shakespearean sonnet, which is, of course, 14 lines. So one line for each month of the year, and then two lines at the end summing up what's happened in the year and what's going to happen in the future year. But let me, I suppose, give you the poem for which I'm probably most famous. My wife liked Robert Herrick, so when we got married, I surprised her. And this poem has been used by many, many other grooms since. And it goes something like this. Catherine, I bring to thee this ring to seal the words we've said. May its circle of light burn perpetually bright on the path we share ahead. Upon your hand, may its golden band be like the vows we make, an outward sign that you are mine, a bond no power can break. As gold it be, I give to thee all that I have of treasure, my heart, my life, my love, my wife, eternal and without measure.
That was lovely. Thank you so much, Prof Hugh. That was Professor Hugh Gill. He's a professor of psychology and associate provost from Sunway University. Also quite the poet there.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Inspiring many of his students, I'm sure.
Yes.
And so he shared his favorite poem at the end there. And we also asked all of you listening to share what your favorite verse or favorite poet perhaps is as well. We have a couple of responses, actually more than a couple. So one on WhatsApp, who said, it's a good idea to bring back poem memorization. My favorite is Leisure by W.H. Davies, which I learned when I was 12. That was almost 50 years ago. In fact, I think many of us learned Leisure in school. I guess that's because it was the first time that I was introduced to the word leisure and its meaning. And this person says they also have fond memories of a good teacher and great classmates. And also another one, two choices from this person who messaged in. One is The Gashly Crumb Tinies by Edward Corey. It's actually a book, an alphabet book, and she says it is quite gory, but it's also quite humorous and clever, plus it also teaches you the alphabet. She also mentioned Two Went to Sleep by Leonard Cohen, which she finds very beautiful. And over on Twitter, of course, our very own Shamila Gunnison chimed in with her choice by Mary Oliver. It's The Users of Sorrow. So I'll just read that out here. In my sleep, I dreamt this poem. Someone I loved once gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this too was a gift. And just one more comment. Memes are modern visual poetry.
You're very right.
Oh, really?
I mean, poetry has taken on so many new forms, right? Like we said, rap, we see it in music, yes. We see it in so many different things now. So
memes, okay. They have a beauty to them.
It has some sort of rhythm to it, I suppose, yes. Right? We kind of know what to expect from memes.
That's
well.
True.
I don't know. Talking nonsense here, but what are some of your favorite poems or your favorite types of poems?
You know, I was trying to think. I was so inspired listening to Prof Hugh, but I think that while school was the time when we were introduced to many poems, lots of different kinds of poetry, as a way of learning them. I'm not referring so much to childhood nursery rhymes and all that. I guess that aside, the schooling years also introduced us to different languages, right? The sha'irs and mm-hmm. the sajats that we had to learn. But I feel that just the way that I was taught them did not really inspire me to remember much of it. But I certainly think, reading the message from our listener who remembers her teacher and remembers W.H. Davies' leisure because of that, I think it can make a huge difference when you have a fantastic teacher imparting the love of poetry to you, you know?
Exactly. And that was the point I was going to bring up. I also only started really loving poetry and literature when I took the subject literature and English back in Form 4 and Form 5. And we had a fabulous teacher who, you know, really inspired us, and she forced us to recite it even though we felt so silly, because she said, you must feel it, you must understand it. And, you know, because we had read poetry throughout school, right? But, you know, understanding what it is, learning the background of the poets, of the writers, that actually, you know, just lends so much more depth and richness, you know, to the poetry. And our first poem that I ever learned and memorized is Daffodils, you know,
Of course,
which is unfortunately the only thing that I remember now. But so many things that I learned from that. And I think that also helps, you know, not just reading and memorizing, but reading the background behind it as well.
Yeah, that rote memorization really kills the love of it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
But I think, you know, we also have listeners who cited Dr. Seuss, all the places you'll go, which this person says feels really masterful. And they read it whenever they're feeling down. And I think children's literature is the perfect place. And so many children's books are actually written as verse, like you said, Julia Donaldson, Dr. Seuss, so much more. And it teaches them to love the language, learn the rhythm and the cadence, I suppose, of reading it. And it just makes storytelling a lot more fun.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that when I'm reading to my kids, it has just rapt attention because there's such a nice rhythm to it, right? You know, and so they kind of fall into it, and you know, finally they go to sleep, which is the most important thing. But they do get into that beat. So I realized with my elder daughter, who's 5, when I started reciting poetry to her, she would start making up her own rhymes.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, none of it makes sense, of course, but she's beginning to understand what rhyming is, and she's kind of making her own little songs from it, songs that rhyme. So there's this natural sort of progression, you know, just from hearing you say it out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you say it doesn't make sense, but I think she's going to be a celebrated poet one day.
Sorry. You'll remind her of this one day, I'm sure.
So to get into the spirit of today's topic, and before we leave you, we both thought we'd each read you a poem, hopefully as a way to kickstart learning more of them. So what's your choice, Juliet?
So I'm a big fan of Ogden Nash, you know, the late American humorist. So I just chose a couple of his very short ones. So one is about the fly. God in his wisdom made the fly and then forgot to tell us why. I always related
so
to that.
So much sense. It makes so much sense.
Two lines. And another one I always loved was, the cow is of the bovine ilk. One end is moo, the other milk. He always cracks me up.
I also love Ogden Nash's verses for Camille Saint-Saëns' composition, The Carnival of the Animals.
The Carnival of Animals,
yeah,
yes.
It's definitely absolutely lovely, matches it so well. My choice is this. At night, my mind does not much care if what it thinks is here or there. It tells me stories it invents and makes up things that don't make sense. I don't know why it does this stuff. The real world seems quite weird enough. I thought a good reminder of what we are going through right now from the very, very lyrical Kelvin from Kelvin and Hobbes.
He's amazing. I recognized it as well. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. But you know, if you would like to share some of your favorite poems, continue to tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send that through WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. If you want to drop us a message on Facebook, just search for us BFM The Bigger Picture. picture, and you can send us any message over there. If you miss any part of today's shows, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can find us on the BFM app and also on Spotify. And keeping with the theme of poetry, coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Dashrun Johan will be speaking to Malaysian songwriter Saint TFC, whose rap song, I'll Never Forget, touches on the rapper's personal struggle with racism in Malaysia. So we'll be finding out more about that after the 3 p.m. news. And if you need a little bit more convincing, we're going to leave you with the acclaimed American poet and writer Maya Angelou reciting one of her most famous poems, Still I Rise. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh, as if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words, you can cut me with your lies, you can kill me with your hatefulness, but just like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling and bearing in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so, wow. There I go.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.